Go, and do likewise. If I were a very subtle or a very lazy preacher, I would have my entire sermon consist of those four words, spoken, of course, with a meaningful and solemn look. And if I did that, I might well have a better sermon. Go and do likewise. What does that look like? What does that feel like? Have you ever been to the fair? Or maybe you've been to Pier 39 in San Francisco, or any place where people gather with the intention of spending more money than they have, and seen a caricature artist. They sit you down on a stool, and they take out a piece of paper, and in 5 or 10 minutes they have a quick sketch that vaguely resembles the person in front of them. And these sketches tend to exaggerate different features. If you happen to have big ears, suddenly the ears are huge. If you have a very bright smile, that smile takes up half the page. Usually the head is this big, and the body's about that small. Things are flat, they're out of proportion. It's a line drawing. It doesn't really look like a person. It certainly looks nothing like a photograph or even a fine painting. But our mind fills in the details. In fact, they're kind of cool. They kind of bring out different aspects of our character. Today's gospel sort of has that same feeling to it. The lawyer asked Jesus, "What must I do to inherit eternal life? How do I live faithfully and receive a reward from God?" And Jesus says, "Well, you're a lawyer. What do you read in the law?" And the lawyer gives a sketch. The lawyer gives a caricature, the caricature of the law. "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, with all your strength. You shall love your neighbor as yourself." And Jesus says, "That's an excellent sketch. Go do that." And the lawyer thinks, "Boy, that's a little sparse," and asks Jesus to fill in some details. So Jesus takes his turn. Jesus gives him a sketch of faith. And like the caricatures at the fair, he brings out important details. He makes them bigger. He makes them more pronounced in an effort to get through to the somewhat dense lawyer. A traveler gets robbed. He's a vulnerable person in bad shape. We don't learn a whole lot about them. There's not a great backstory. We don't know why he's going from Jerusalem to Jericho. We have sketched out this person who is in need. And then we have three other characters who come along. The priest and the Levite represent the holiness and the law and the morality of Israel. And for whatever reason, they pass by. And then there's the Samaritan. The Samaritan, I'm sure you've heard stories, I'm sure you've heard sermons about the Good Samaritan. You've heard the Samaritans were not well liked. I can't help but remind you, about 5 weeks ago, I preached about Ahab and Jezebel and the problems that they got into with Elijah. The Samaritans are the folks who still followed the religion of Ahab and Jezebel. They were so you understand, they were not liked by the Jews at all. But this Samaritan, this despised, despicable, rotten, no good Samaritan, stops and helps. He not just a little, he really goes all out. He washes the wounds, he puts him on his own animal, he takes him to an inn, he pays what's really a very large sum of money, 2 days' wages for this man to stay, and says, "Whatever else you need, when I get back, I'll pay you more." This is Jesus sketching out the broad strokes of faith, the broad strokes of when you see someone in need, lend a hand. And it has become our sketch of Christianity. It has become our caricature of our faith. When you hear someone say to you, "What would Jesus do?" they're not really talking about, you know, salvation by grace. They're probably not talking about your exercising the Great Commission or your participation in the Eucharist. No, when someone says, "What would Jesus do?" they're really kind of talking about this parable. This is the caricature they have in mind. This is who Jesus is to a lot of people. Jesus is the story of the Good Samaritan. And I must admit to you that when I hear people use phrases like, "You're not acting like a good Christian," or "What would Jesus do in this situation?" I hear the two-year-old version of the word "share." Now, those of you who have had children have certainly got to a point where you were trying to teach your children to share with others. You know, don't hoard all the toys. You can play with others and you can have this one time. But the first thing they learn is that the word "share" means it's my turn. And the two-year-old version of "share" is "share." Share with me. And I often hear people talk about the parable of the Good Samaritan in that way. You know, Jesus gave us this sketch of faith. Jesus gave us this image of how to live and do that to me. Here I am, the person in need. You should do this for me. Or you should do this for my cause. You should agree with me, help me, support me in this. Because this is the image you have of Christianity. This is the image I have of Christianity. And you know, it can be problematic. I will admit to you that I often feel overwhelmed by the needs of the world. I look out at all the people who I know need help, and I say to myself, how can I help them all? And if I help just one, what will happen when all the others come along? I mean, I bet the Samaritan didn't think about, well, gee, if I help this one traveler who clearly has a problem, am I going to get hit up for a couple denarii from every traveler who stubs his toe between Jerusalem and Jericho? But that's the thought that runs through my mind occasionally. Or I worry about, am I really truly helping? You know, the old saw about you give a man a fish and he eats for a day, you teach a man to fish and he eats for a lifetime. I really wonder about the quick fix. I really often find myself in conflict when I think about somebody who is asking me for help and calling upon my faith, upon this sketch of my faith, about am I really fixing the problem? Or am I just delaying and discouraging a change that needs to happen? We live in a world of complex and competing needs, and I must admit to you that there would be many of my colleagues out there who would tell you that these questions I have are not Christian. But I find that I can't live out my Christian vocation without thinking about them. And when I do, I realize, hold on a second, I've gotten myself right back to where we all started, to where the lawyer started out in the first place. I'm standing here trying to put limits on my love and my kindness and my generosity. Who is my neighbor? I told you this would be a better sermon if I'd stopped after the first four words. What Jesus is giving to the lawyer is not a formula. It's not a demand that we follow slavishly every need and want that comes before us. Jesus says, go and do likewise. Not go and help everyone immediately. Go and follow this example. This is a sketch. This is a sketch where I have brought out for you some of the best and most holy aspects of living in faith. It is a sketch that says, it's not, that makes the point. Our first inclination when we see someone in need should be to ask, how much am I able to help? How kind can I be? How much of God's love can I reflect in this situation? This is a sketch that calls us to think big, to come up with bigger solutions, to be more than just the smallest we can get away with and soothe our conscience. And to not get caught up in our prejudices about who deserves our help, or be blinded by the self-importance of, I'm a good person or I'm an important person, and therefore I don't have to help. It calls us to truly consider ourselves and to act out of an idea of gracious abundance. In the Episcopal Church, we still have the concept of saints. Saints are these people who, in some aspect of their lives, have given a caricature of what it means to live out our faith. They are people who we can look at and say, go and do likewise. Indeed, it's not just saints. We catch glimpses of this type of faith in our friends and family, in our neighbors, in newspaper stories, in co-workers, in works of our culture, in books and literature. Every one of these provides some little vignette that is a holy call to give yet more generously of ourselves. In the end, there's not a simple answer. We can't simply come up with a formula about how much we should give. In fact, Jesus tells this story to the lawyer specifically to countermand that thought. Instead, we are called to love God with all our heart, with all our mind, with all our soul, with all our strength, to love our neighbor as ourselves. This is still a good sketch, if a rough one, of our faith. As is the parable of the Good Samaritan. And beyond that, there are no set precepts, only a myriad other good examples. And hopefully, a solemn and meaningful call to ponder and live out. Go and do likewise. Amen.